So we are going to move now directly into the reflection. Or I kind of think of the children's time as part one of the reflection, and then what gets billed as the reflection is sort of just repeating what I said in the children's time with more words. But let me ask you all to join me in prayer for a moment. God, today, as we reflect on trees as a source of life and a sign of your care, remind us that you do care for us, you do provide for us, including in ways beyond what we may even see or notice. And we are grateful for that. God, may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all our hearts today be pleasing in your sight. Speak to each of us what we most need to hear. In your precious and powerful name, amen. So the main theme of my reflection time and what I've been thinking about for the last couple of days is how in the Bible, trees are linked to abundant, flourishing life. And we saw this already in Psalm 1. It's, I think, for me at least, it's the most memorable image of Psalm 1, of the righteous being like a tree planted by streams of water. But this is really just one example in the Bible where we see this connection made between trees and abundant flourishing life. It actually starts out in Genesis with the creation story, where God plants the Garden of Eden. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 reads like this: "Out of the ground," that's of Eden, "the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And because of how the story unfolds, sometimes it's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that takes up all our attention. But it is worth noticing as well that the Garden of Eden is a garden of trees that are beautiful and nourishing, and include the tree of life. And then way at the other end of the Bible, in the final chapters of Revelation, this image returns as John is describing his vision of the heavenly city of God. And in the final chapter, Revelation 22, the first couple of verses, John writes this: "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." So again, that image of a tree of life for healing, for flourishing, abundant life. As I noted already in the children's time, the communities that gave rise to these biblical texts experienced this in a very literal way: trees as a source of food and other products that sustain life. And it's not really, I think, very different for us. We experience this as well. Think about all the many different kinds of products that come from trees: fruit and nuts for eating, wood for fuel or for lumber, wood pulp and byproducts get used in goods ranging from paper to medicine to cleaning supplies. But even if we never harvested anything from trees, the presence of trees in the world would still contribute to life in really important ways. Trees are central to environmental health and human health. Trees give off oxygen. They absorb carbon dioxide, and by doing so, help to slow the rate of global warming. They're an essential part of our biosphere. And being around trees and in green spaces benefits human health. Studies have shown that even a few minutes spent in a green space in nature can lower blood pressure and stress levels. So there are many literal ways in which trees are a source of life and a sign of divine care. And what I've said so far, I think, is really just scratching the surface of how trees contribute good and health to our world. But in addition to thinking about literal ways in which trees are a source of life, I also want us to think a little about how in the Bible trees are a common metaphor for people who are close to God. And again, this is at the heart of Psalm 1, which we just heard. Righteous people are like flourishing trees. And I think if we take this seriously, trees can give us some important lessons for how to thrive in our spiritual and psychological and emotional lives. And I want to briefly talk about just 3 points in which I think we can learn a lot from trees. So the first point I want to make is where we are planted will make a significant difference in how well we grow. And again, listen to the words from Psalm 1, verse 3, where the righteous are like trees planted by streams of water. In the land of Palestine, especially in the parts that are semi-arid desert, to be planted near a source of water is crucial. Trees are remarkably hardy. It's amazing sometimes the circumstances within which they can grow. But to truly flourish, trees need enough space. They need the right soil conditions. They need sufficient water. And our spirits are similar to that. We need to be rooted in loving communities, in regular spiritual disciplines, and practices of self-care that will nourish us. So practices like prayer, practices like taking time for Sabbath rest. And so I invite us to consider where we are planted, and especially ask yourself, what are the relationships and communities that you are planted in? And think about the rhythm of your days, how you're spending your time. What are the regular practices that you're engaging in? I was reflecting on this this weekend, and it struck me that the pandemic has put a strain on many of us in these two areas specifically, in the rhythms of our lives and our daily schedules, and in our relationships and our sense of communal life. And so I think it's more important than ever that we pay attention to how we can be intentional about rooting ourselves in community, in relationship, in spiritual disciplines and practices of self-care. So that's the first point I wanted to make. Where we are planted will make a significant difference in how well we grow. And then the second point, in some ways, I think flows kind of naturally out of this. When we are healthy, we will produce fruit in season. And that fruit will be according to our nature. So again, Psalm 1, verse 3, this is the the second phrase that gets added on after we see the righteous are like trees planted by streams of water, producing fruit in season. And in the Bible has a lot to say about us producing fruit, or at times not producing fruit. Often I think this gets framed and understood as our actions, how we speak, how we act, how we treat each other, how we behave. And it can get cast as, you know, good fruit. Well, that's good action. It's holy. It's being righteous. It's doing what we should do and avoiding doing what we shouldn't. And while I think that that is true, I also think that there's a deeper meaning in which, or at least another meaning in which we're called to bear fruit. And that is living into our vocation. When we think about how trees bear fruit, it's not extra work on their part. It's not that they have to take some effort to produce fruit and to make sure if they're an apple tree that it's actually apples that they're producing. But the fruit bearing comes naturally when they are growing and healthy. And I think often the same is true for us. When we are healthy, the fruit bearing comes out of that naturally. And that fruit is a reflection of our own essential nature. Thinking back to the Genesis passage that I cited at the beginning, God planted many different kinds of fruit-bearing trees in the Garden of Eden. And that, as we know from the creation story, was a very good thing. And it's true also for us. Each of us is called to be who we are and to bear our own kind of fruit, to live into our own vocation and contribute that distinctively to the world. So that's my second point. When we are healthy, we'll produce fruit in season according to our nature. And then the third point that's come to me as I've reflected on trees in the Bible as a symbol of abundant, flourishing life. And that is that this is reflective of God's desire for the world. God's desire for our world is for healing, for abundant and flourishing life. I think we see this in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and this image of this is how the world was meant to be. And we see it again in Revelation, in that, in a sense, restoration of that, that image of Eden. But there, it's not just that the trees are planted and they're there for food, but also the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. There's a recognition throughout the Bible that all is not as it should be. There's a need for restoration. There's a need for healing. And that is what God's desire is for. And I think this is some of why it is so important that we, as followers of God, are well planted and are rooted in that which gives life, and why it's so important that we are each bearing the good and distinctive fruit of who we are. Because this is also what is needed for the health and healing of our world. I think sometimes I have looked at Psalm 1 and read that in a more individual kind of way, that it's individual righteous people who are like trees planted by streams of water and bearing fruit. And it's these individuals that God is looking after and caring for, as opposed to the wicked. But I think when we both recognize that the word, the Hebrew word that often gets translated righteous, can also be equally well translated justice. And we look at Psalm 1 in the context of the larger scope of the biblical story, we can see that the story is never just about God in relationship with an individual human being, but it's God in relationship with communities, with interdependent communities, calling us both as individuals and as a community to be active and present in the world in ways that will be righteous, just, and healing. So thank you.